Please remain standing if you're able, and we'll read our sermon text, Gospel according to John, verses 11 through 17. And you can find that on page 1066 in the Pew Bible. John 20, starting at verse 11. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now, when they had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Amen. You may be seated. In our passage, the risen Lord Jesus says some things to Mary Magdalene that we might find puzzling. Why does he say, "Don't cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father"? Mary's natural reaction to seeing Jesus alive from the dead is to embrace him in joy. But why does he discourage this? I think the answer comes when we read back into John in the earlier chapters. Jesus is pointing out to Mary and to us a truth that he proclaimed in John 16:7, where Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." And so we must cling to Jesus' promise of the indwelling Holy Spirit. We must cling to Jesus' promise of the indwelling Holy Spirit. One point I think we need to consider as we cling to his promise is that we must go beyond what we can know naturally of Jesus. Mary knew Jesus and knew him in the flesh, and we might be tempted to believe that the first believers had an advantage over us in being able to see Jesus in the flesh. Now, we have to admit that it would have been a blessing to be among the people who saw Jesus walk the earth and do miracles and suffer and die and rise again. Can you imagine how awesome that would have been? And yet, he says, it is to your advantage that I go away. Why? Well, he says that if he does not go away, the Helper will not come. But if I depart, I will send him to you. In other words, to have the Helper dwelling in you is better than having Jesus physically present. Do you believe it? Jesus said it. Jesus said it, so it must be so. We must believe Jesus' promise. It is better. It is to your advantage that he go away and that he sends the Spirit. Well, he said it, and amen to that. What are the advantages of Jesus absent in the body and yet present by his Spirit? Well, in the Holy Spirit, we have another helper, another helper. Now, Greek is a little more precise than English here. In Greek, there are two different words for another. There's one Greek word for another, different, and there's another Greek word for another, the same. And the word that was used here is another same or another like. So this helper is another like Jesus. Now, this is where the doctrine of the Trinity matters. Amen. Who is the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Blessed Trinity. The Bible is very clear that there is one God, and yet that one God has revealed himself in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one God, yet three persons. And they are the same in substance and equal in power and glory. And so the Holy Spirit is another of the same nature as the Lord Jesus. And so Jesus is the second person of the triune God. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the triune God. And the Holy Spirit is another like or of the same nature as Jesus. He is not less than Jesus. He is not an impersonal force. He is a person. If he was an impersonal force, he would be less than Jesus. And Jesus isn't promising something less. He is promising something better. Amen. Amen. And Jesus does not shortchange us. He gives us the Spirit who is same in substance, equal in power and glory to the Father and to Jesus the Son. And so we have another helper, and not just a helper near, but a helper who is in us. Amen. Amen. So we have another helper. We have another helper. The word translated helper is also translated comforter or paraclete. One called alongside to help. And so the Holy Spirit has been called alongside and inside to be your helper. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. Amen. Amen. How does the Holy Spirit help the believer? Well, he helps the believer in many, many ways. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit will abide with you forever, and that the Holy Spirit will reveal truth because he is the Spirit of truth. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit will dwell with us and will be in us. That is, he is the indwelling Holy Spirit. He will teach us all things. And he will bring to our remembrance all things that Jesus said. He will testify of Jesus. And he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. And he will guide you into all truth. You ever feel that you need guidance and you're wondering what the truth is in a particular situation? The Holy Spirit is able to guide you into all truth. And he will tell you things to come. And he will glorify Jesus. All these come from John chapters 14 through 16. So John is taking these truths and bringing them to the climax in chapter 20 and chapter 21. And then another promise about the Holy Spirit, Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth, Acts 1:8. And so the Holy Spirit is here to indwell us, to give us power to be Jesus' witnesses. Not Jehovah's Witnesses, Jesus' Witnesses. Amen. Now, why does Jesus mention his ascension? He says, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father." Here's another aspect of Jesus' life to be familiar with is the ascension. The ascension of the Lord Jesus happened after the 40 days that he showed himself alive from the dead. And Jesus appeared to the disciples. Eventually he appeared to Thomas, and we will talk about his appearance to Thomas. And then 1 Corinthians 15:6 tells us that he appeared to over 500 of the brethren after he rose from the dead. And Paul says to the Corinthians, some of which are still alive. So if you want, you could consult with them and hear from many witnesses that are still alive of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And the interesting thing in the scriptures, things are established by two or three witnesses. And so here, Paul is saying there's not just two or three witnesses, there are over 500 witnesses. And so after 40 days of showing himself alive with many proofs, Jesus ascended to heaven bodily and was seated at the right hand of the Father. And for him to be seated at the Father's right hand means that he is enthroned. And so this is another evidence that he is God. It is after the ascension that Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to enable powerful witnesses. Again, John 16:7, "It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Amen. And so the ascension is necessary for the sending of the Holy Spirit. And the question is, do you have this? And the answer is, well, if you have trusted in Jesus as Lord and Savior, yes, you have the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:9. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. And so you can read in Romans 8 how if someone is a Christian, if someone is a believer, they have the Holy Spirit. And if they don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them, then they are none of his. And so if you're a believer in Jesus, you have the Spirit of Jesus. Amen. Now the question is, have you believed in the Lord Jesus? Have you trusted him as your Lord and Savior? Have you believed in his blood to wash away your sin and to give you new life? Well, if you have not yet come to that point of saying, Lord, please forgive me, the sinner, and thank you, Jesus, for being the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And thank you for taking away my sin. I trust you as Lord and Savior. I urge you to do that. We have to make it personal. We have to make it our own. We need to have that faith applied to us and for our faith to be fixed on the Lord Jesus. What does it say in Acts chapter 16? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved, you and your household. The Lord is about saving people and about saving families. Amen. And so, if you have trusted in Christ as your Lord and Savior, then the Spirit of God dwells in you. And so cling to that promise of the Holy Spirit in us. Cling to Jesus' promise of the indwelling Holy Spirit and believe that it is better. It is better to have the Spirit dwelling in us than to have Jesus in the flesh present in front of us. That's what God's Word says. And believe that the Holy Spirit is there to work mightily in you. And so Paul can say in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Christ in you, the hope of glory, says in Colossians. Receive Jesus and you will receive his Spirit. And receive in the Spirit all the blessings of the indwelling Spirit of God. And so, beloved, I urge you today to cling to Jesus' promise of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Believe that it is better, it is to our advantage, that he is in heaven and the Holy Spirit is inside us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, and thank you, our Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for these blessings. Thank you for revealing to us yourself and causing yourself to dwell in us by your Spirit. Help us, Lord, to understand these things and to have all the blessings and all the help that you give us through the Holy Spirit. And so thank you and praise you, and to you be the glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.